today on Real Radio.
The Book of Acts is a powerful presentation of how, as a church or as an individual, you and I are to be. We are to be alive.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called How We Grow Up in Christ, continues a series called The Book of Acts. The Book of Acts records the powerful ministry of the first century apostles. Their journey included preaching the gospel throughout the Gentile world. Their passion was for all to come to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In the message called It's Always Too Soon to Quit from Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through 17, we saw how Paul fell into a deep depression. Many in Corinth rejected Paul's message, and it deeply distressed him. So God delivered him by sending fellow servants of Christ to encourage him. Even in opposition, the Lord will send opportunities to regain our strength and press forward. Now continuing through chapter 19, verse 7, we'll find Paul returning to the places he went on his first missionary journey so that he could in turn strengthen the believers there. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that one sign of being a Christian is spiritual growth, and the way we grow in Christ is by staying in God's Word and continuing His work. But oftentimes, it takes a renewed focus for the ministry to expand and for church growth to be possible. And now, in his lesson called How We Grow Up in Christ, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Acts 18, beginning at verse 18. So Paul still remained a good while. Then he took leave of the brethren and sailed for Syria, and Priscilla and Aquila were with him. And he had his hair cut off at Centuria, for he had taken a vow. And he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. And when they asked him to stay longer, a longer time with them, he did not consent, but took leave of them, saying, I must by all means keep this coming feast in Jerusalem, but I will return again to you, God willing. And he sailed from Ephesus. And when he had landed in Caesarea and gone up to greet the church, he went down to Antioch. After he had spent some time there, verse 23, he departed and went all over the region of Galatia and Perga in order, strengthening all the disciples. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, and when Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. For he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who was to come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. Then when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now, verse 7 says, the men were about 12 in all. Interesting portion of Scripture. When a doctor makes his rounds, grabs his clipboard and visits the patients that he is either aware of or that he's been dealing with, and he goes and makes his rounds coming into the room. And when a doctor does that, the first thing he wants to, I think, establish is there a heartbeat, you know? Are they alive? And so he'll walk in there and he'll ask you some questions. And though he's asking you some things, how you doing, how's your family, what's been going on, he's monitoring you. He's looking at you. And he's scrutinizing you. He's checking all the vitals. He wants to see if the wounds are healing up okay and properly. He wants to see if your appetite maybe is increasing. How's your appetite? And an increased appetite, by the way, shows that a person is in the stages of recovery. They're getting hungry. They're feeling better. He'll also check the attitude of your heart or mind. Are you swallowed up in depression maybe? And he's monitoring constantly. And last time in our study, we saw where Paul fell into deep depression in the earlier verses of Acts chapter 18. And we saw in verses 9 and 10 that he was being really swallowed up with fear and with concern. And the Lord spoke to him encouraging words and lifted him up. Very wonderful time, no doubt, for Paul. And I think we'll see a glimpse of how wonderful it was in today's study. But one of the signs of being a Christian is growth. Jesus said that when he comes into your life, you will have life and it will be more abundant life. Do you have more abundant life operating in you today? Well, if you do, it's because Jesus Christ lives within you. And if you don't, there's a good chance that you are not in Christ, or should I say Christ in you. Very important. I mentioned to you that we were at Calvary Pasadena on Thursday night. And 10 people accepted the Lord. Well, 5 of them came walking in to the service with Bibles in hand and Christian t-shirts on. But by the time we came to the end of the message, not all of them had been born again. They had Christian shirts on. Their shirts were saved. Their shirts. And maybe their cars even had a dove on the back. And their car was going to heaven. They even had a Bible. But the ones that I spoke with had never made a personal commitment to Christ. They knew about the things of God, but they had not entered into the relationship that they needed so desperately to have that assurance of faith in Christ Jesus. The book of Acts is a powerful presentation of how, as a church or as an individual, you and I are to be. We are to be alive. And the title of this morning's message is, How We Grow Up in Jesus Christ. How do we grow up? You know, there's a set pattern. You can walk in with a clipboard. As a Christian, you can look at the vital signs. The Bible says, examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. You can open up the Bible and you can check it off. Am I prone to pray? Am I prone to worship? Am I prone to love? Am I prone to the fruits of the Spirit? You may not be operating, and I may not be operating in all of the fruits of the Spirit, depending on what kind of a day we're having, huh? But it's pretty neat to be able to look through the Bible and see, man, that is my heart-burning passion right there, is to be like these scriptures dictate and how I want to pursue Christ. Is that a burden in your heart? Well, Paul was encouraged and he went on. The first thing I want you to see this morning is found in verses 18 to 22, and that is we grow up in Christ by continuing the work. We grow up in Christ by continuing the work. Now, that is point number one, and I'm going to give you some sub-points, I guess, underneath this. So I want you to listen carefully. Understand this right now, that in Acts chapter 1 to chapter 8, the book of Acts deals with the local ministry, Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 8 to 12, it begins to shift over a regional ministry. It's very important. In Acts chapter 13 to 28, where we find ourselves, it is the global ministry of the church, a three-stage movement of the church. And note this, that not only in these chapters, it has a progression for us as believers. Listen to this. In the earlier chapters, it shows that the leading ministers of the work is primarily Peter. Then from chapters 13 on, it speaks about how Paul is the primary worker, but he's replicating or reproducing believers. We're seeing crusades in the book of Acts and people getting saved. And what's exciting is from Acts chapter 28, the last chapter, from Acts 28 until September 24th. That is today, isn't it, the 24th? The primary minister regarding the book of Acts is you. You know, the book of Acts technically is the only book of the Bible that's not complete. because we're not done yet. The church is not done ministering. And so the work is going to continue. The first thing that we see, beginning in verse 18, is that the work continues. And specifically in your subtitle, or your subnote, excuse me, subpoint, is that the work needs to be renewed. We need to have a renewed focus in what Jesus would have us to do. Very important. Look at verse 18. So Paul still remained a good while there, where we left him last time. He's still there. He was there a year and a half. But it says here that he remained still a good while. Then he took leave of the brethren and sailed from Syria. And Priscilla and Aquila were with him. Remember them? Husband and wife, great evangelistic team, home Bible study leaders. And it says here that he had his hair cut off at Centuria, for he had taken a vow. What on earth is that for? It's a little parenthetical insert. He had his hair cut off? Centuria must have had a barber shop. You know, he goes in there. Well, what's with the deal? You know what? No doubt Paul had taken a Nazarite vow as found in Numbers chapter 6. Why? He'd been there a year and a half, enjoying success. Well, remember last time in our study, he suffered great depression. And then God delivered him. Remember, a lot of people got saved and God spoke to him, Paul, don't be afraid of your life. No one's going to hurt you. We saw last time that Paul was afraid of being hurt. That's why Jesus said, don't be afraid, no one's going to hurt you. Paul was also wondering if Jesus was even around anymore because the Lord said, I'm with you. I'm right here, Paul. You ever feel like that? I know you feel like that. God blessed him and he had fruit in the ministry and continued. And what most scholars believe is that the reason why he let his hair grow is because he had given a Nazarite vow unto the Lord, and Nazarite vows were often given unto the Lord in appreciation or consecration or rededication. You know, we can have a service, and some of you might rededicate your life. Well, instead of letting your hair grow long as a Nazarite, you raise your hand or come forward and recommit. Well, that's what Paul was doing. He was so grateful that God had delivered him out of peril that he swore a vow unto the Lord of appreciation, and he let his hair grow. He'd taken a vow, and the time had come now to complete that vow, and he got his hair cut off in Centuria. That's all it means. But I think it means a lot. Dedicating himself to the Lord. He renews his commitment. Verse 19 goes on to tell us concerning that renewal. And when he had come to Ephesus, he left there. But he himself, or he left them there. That is Priscilla and Aquila. But he himself entered the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. That was Paul's style. So a wonderful little insert here of recommitment. The work continues. The second thing I want you to see is found in verses 20 to 21. The word of God needs to continue. The work needs to continue by allowing the ministry to expand. Look what happens here. There's no arrogance or pride on Paul's part. Verse 20. And when they asked him to stay a longer time with them, he did not consent to them. And this is a precious thing. Paul is a pastor. And when they asked him to stay, and he did not consent. It was not that he didn't like the church that he was at. He loved them dearly. He was ripping his heart from them to go to a commitment that he had made. This guy loves the flock. And in the midst of all this love for the church, Paul earlier, or I should say later, will write how much his burden was to present the church of Jesus Christ to Jesus as a bride, chaste and pure. I had a neat time last night of marrying a couple who'd been dating since they were 15. She was 15, he was 16. And in the rehearsal Friday night, they wanted me to do we rehearsed everything, but the "You may now turn and kiss the bride" part. And she goes, can we do that? And I said, do what? She goes, the part where you say, now you may kiss the bride. And I said, yeah, we'll do that. And some time went by and she goes, no, I mean now. And I said, no, we'll do that tomorrow. And when the precious thing about it was, these two had saved themselves till last night. And I was trying, like the Dickens, to find their phone number and try to... But it's so precious. I mean, they bought a home 3 months ago, and it was all furnished, and they hadn't stepped foot in it yet. And they were waiting for last night for everything. Beautiful, godly couple, young couple. And Paul says, man, that's exactly how I want to present the church to Jesus Christ. And the anticipation was great. We're going through the vows, and they're like going, uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh. Okay. Christ. Yes, yes. I do. Okay, great. This is great. That's a lot of fun. Paul looks with passion that the church would be presented to Christ like that. It says in verse 21, but he took leave of them, saying, I must by all means keep this coming feast in Jerusalem, simply the Passover. Paul had a desire to get to Jerusalem for the Passover, but I will, he says, return again to you, God willing. Isn't that great? Lord willing. He's going to go and enjoy the Passover celebration in Jerusalem. I can't help but think that Paul's evangelistic heart is also thinking, man, there's going to be 3 million people coming to worship in Judaism, and there's going to be a lot of Christians there now because years had gone by. What a great opportunity to share Jesus Christ. Man, when they start sacrificing that lamb, I'm going to start telling them all about the Lamb of God. So he's going to go to Jerusalem. He's got a heart to share, no doubt about it. Heart to celebrate. But he says, I'll come back to you guys, Lord willing. Isn't that great? Man, we are so funny. We got timelines, charts, day timers. You know, it's nuts. And we should stop and say, well, Lord willing. We just a while back got done with a vacation. We didn't even pull out of the parking lot where the cabin's at until we start. Well, man, next year, we're going to. And the Lord says, excuse me, you are to say, if the Lord wills. But man, we're so book it. Reserve it, you know. God help us if we got to be spontaneous. The world could cave in. I think God's spontaneous. I think it's exciting. But he wants to keep this feast, I think, with great intention. The next thing we see is in verse 22. Look what happens concerning the work continuing is that he's going to give a report concerning his work, his ministry. And when he had landed at Caesarea, Paul must have had a plane, it sounds like, doesn't it? He'd gone up to greet the church. Whenever it says gone up to greet the church, you know they're going to Jerusalem. You know, no matter what, Mount Hermon's 9,200 feet. As high as that is, snow-capped most of the year, you got to go down and then descend and then go up to Jerusalem. It doesn't matter how you come to Jerusalem, you got to come up. Even if you come from Mount Whitney, you don't go down to Jerusalem from Mount Whitney, 14,000 feet plus. You got to go down from Whitney and then up to Jerusalem because it's seated on a hill. Isn't that neat? So he goes up to Jerusalem, and then look what it says. And he went down to Antioch. Why did he go to Antioch? Well, that's where it all started. That's his home base of ministry. And we know from other portions of Scripture that this is where he gave an evangelistic update or report on the missions trip of the years to them. He gave them an update. He told them, man, you want to know what God's doing? Well, we've heard a lot, but tell us the, well, this is what's happening. And he gave them an account of what had been going on, a very beautiful fellowship, and Paul being under their blessing and going out underneath their banner, so to speak. Well, look at the second part of our study. The second part of our study is that it deals with the Word of God in that it instructs us. It is the Bible that's going to instruct us on how to be Christians. I don't know why you're here today. Maybe you're looking for something, or maybe you think you should do the religious thing to do. Maybe somebody in your family, they've always been a Christian, they've been telling you, well, you ought to go. Well, you know, you shouldn't ought to go because somebody tells you to go, though somebody will forever tell you to go because they love you. Come on, let's go. I want you to come. Let's come to church. Come on. The reason why they're doing that to you is because they want you to get to heaven. Okay, do you want me to talk to them right now for you, everybody? They don't want you to burn in hell. The Bible says if you don't receive Christ, you're going to toast. You're going to burn. Because a heart that has not chosen Christ is independent and thinking that it can make its own path to God. Jesus says, no, I'm the only way. Jesus said, you either choose me or you reject me. And to stay neutral is to reject me. So you and I, we talk to our friends and we say, well, why don't you come? We're going to have a little skit. Well, why don't you come? We're going to have a concert. Why don't you come? We're going to have, you know, whatever. Oh, come on. Why don't you come so you don't burn in hell? Because we don't want you to die and go there. Jesus Christ died on the cross to free you up from that terrible place. It's the only way to go. He loves us. He loves you. The Word of God will instruct us. Verse 23, look at the first thing we see is that Paul strengthens the body, the brethren, through the Word of God. Verse 23, now begins the third and final missionary journey of Paul. After he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the region of Galatia and Perga. That's a lot of territory, in order, sequential, in chronological order to the establishment of the church on his first trip. He's doing what we would call follow-up. Watch what happens. He's strengthening all the disciples. He's teaching them Bible, just like what we're doing. He encouraged them. He showed them how to study the Bible. He showed them when Nehemiah was talking about this is what he meant. He talked to them about Moses. He gave them teaching. And that's how the body of Christ is encouraged and strengthened and brought along. The word strengthen here in the Greek is a great word. It means to add support to reestablish, or to nurture, or to, what I like is the word here, to confirm them. Man, I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like going under and somebody will come by. In fact, it happened this week. I was thinking about something and just really kind of mulling this thing over and boy, what's about this? What about the other? And somebody walked by and they said, oh, you know what? Lord gave me a verse. I want you to hear it. And kaplump, here's this verse. And it was like, have you ever seen the Nestea plunge in the pool? It was just great. It's all I needed. That's being strengthened by the Word of God. The Word instructs us. The Bible says, thy word have I hidden in my heart, O Lord, that I might not sin against you. We're going to get to this in a moment about what all that might mean. But the Word will instruct us. The Word will instruct us. Paul uses the Word to strengthen them. The second thing here is that the Word instructs us. Look what it says, really, by adding servants to the call that Paul, that God had put upon Paul's life in the church. Look, it says verse 24, now a certain Jew. Man, I love that. A certain Jew. One who's been targeted by God. In this auditorium this morning, there's a certain John. There's a certain Peggy. There's a certain Beth. There's a certain Brian. Do you believe that? Or it's like, well, I don't know. Boy, how you respond to what I just said is really going to come back and convict you if I hurry up and get to the meat of all this stuff.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called How We Grow Up in Christ. Thanks for listening. And to experience the need for Christ and to grow into the likeness of Him is God's greatest pleasure. How We Grow Up in Christ is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit, and will continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, many of us have a lot of questions and opinions about the culture of our day, especially here in California. How can we give an answer for the reason of hope that's within us? And how can we give a biblical worldview of what's happening right now, when so many are becoming so combative? One way is to subscribe to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel and watch his Engage the Culture series. In this series, Pastor Jack gives an answer to some of the most controversial questions we as Christians are facing today. That includes, what does the Bible say about feminism, transgenderism, gun control, border control, and abortion? Many will reject the truth, but like the Apostle Paul, God will strengthen and encourage us through the power of the Holy Spirit and through fellowship with other believers. Together, the more we know, the more our influence will matter. So take a look at Pastor Jack's YouTube channel called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. There are so many videos to choose from to help you grow in the Lord. And when you subscribe, don't forget to tap that notification button for the latest videos as they become available. You can also access his YouTube channel from our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.